Now it's time for Jazz Learn Up with Julian Joseph.
The sound of Scottish trumpeter Colin Steele and his quintet, who are our special studio session guests today. And I'll also be speaking with Colin to find out about his absence from the jazz scene for the last 6 years, coming up later in the show. Plus, I'll be joined by Kevin Legendre for our regular monthly feature, Now's the Time, where he unearths a classic album of recent times. This month's recording is Hum Dunno, led by Jamaican-born saxophonist Joe Harriet and Bombay-born guitarist Amancio de Silva's quartet. The album also includes contributions from British jazz treasures, vocalist Normal Winston and Ian Carr on the flugelhorn. Here's a taster. More from the Joe Harriet and Amancio de Silva Quartet as part of this month's Now's the Time feature later on the show. First up, New Orleans trumpet maestro Terrence Blanchard, famous not only as a jazz man, but also as a Hollywood film score writer, notably for many of the films of Spike Lee. He launches his new band called the E Collective, with a musical change in direction coming from a more funk and rock-influenced complexion. This is Soldiers.
Thank you.
The Sound of Terence Blanchard and Soldiers, featuring Charles Altura on the guitar, and on bass is Donald Ramsey, and on drums, Oscar Seaton. The album is called Breathless and out now on the Blue Note label. Well, talking of Blue Note, it's been about 10 years since pianist Robert Glasper joined the influential label, and he has straddled the jazz and R&B hip-hop stars with his recorded output, winning R&B Grammys for his Black Radio albums. Now, Glasper returns to the trio format for more music celebrating R&B and commercial sounds of artists such as Joni Mitchell, John Legend, Music Soul Child, and the distinctive British band Radiohead. Now, fans of Radiohead may recognize this piece. The Robert Glasper Trio, And did you recognise that Radiohead track? That was Reckoner, from his new album, Covered. The album was recorded live at the famous Capitol Studios in Los Angeles, made famous by vocalists Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole. And you can catch Robert with Vicente Archer on bass and Damien Reed on drums, playing dates around the UK in August. On the 8th, they're at the Manchester Jazz Festival. On the 9th, the Brecon Jazz Festival. On the 11th, they're at the Edinburgh International Festival. And then from August 12th to the 14th, they're at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London. And more exciting news, if you want to catch some jazz action and attend a jazz lineup recording, we will be hosting a jazz lineup stage at this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival on Saturday, the 27th of June. From 2 p.m. until early evening, we'll be featuring five performers from established names and emerging artists, including the James Taylor Quartet, Zoe Rahman, Rachel Cohen Quartet, Vane, and emerging talent Trio HSK. And for more information on how you can attend, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Coming up next, we feature two studio session tracks from Scottish trumpeter Colin Steele. Now, Colin recently reformed his quintet, and they've already toured Scotland. The members of the quintet haven't recorded as a unit for 10 years, as Colin, in particular, was certainly experimenting with other musical pursuits. These included his band Stramash, big band music, a theatre show about the mercurial trumpeter Chet Baker. He also spent time overhauling his trumpet technique, which almost forced him to quit music entirely. Thankfully, with the help of trumpeter Mark O'Keefe, he found his way back to performance, and he's more creative, productive, and stronger than ever. Shortly, I'll be joined by Colin for an interview, but before we hear from him, let's hear the band's first session track. Recorded at the BBC's Pacific Quay Studios on the banks of the River Clyde on Sunday the 29th of March, the quintet features Michael Buckley on saxophone, Dave Milligan on piano, Callum Gawley on the bass, Stu Ritchie on drums, and Colin Steele on trumpet. This is Independence Song. independent song from the Colin Steele Quintet, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Colin Steele to Jazz Lineup. Welcome, Colin. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
That tune, Independent Song, when I hear it, I have a good idea what it might be about, but when I hear it, I hear a sense of folk music going on there, and the first thing that came to my mind is it would probably really do well with a lyric also.
Yes, it's very much written with a lyric in mind. Yes, it's very much a song, kind of a mournful sort of Scottish ballad. But and I took that into the band on the rehearsal and tried to figure out how to work it. But the independence thing that we all experienced up in Scotland last year was, it wasn't so mournful. It was a really joyful experience of so many people coming together and optimism. So we kind of put that happy kind of African sort of vibe on it, and it seemed to work well.
And you featured the piano on that one, didn't you?
Yes, very much so. That was actually Dave's idea, that we're doing it kind of more kind of African sort of happy vibe. But it didn't seem like a song that you really wanted several big, long, drawn-out solos. And what Dave was doing just seemed to be just right, just enough.
Tell us about the quintet. How come it's been so long, 10 years, since you've put pen to paper and recorded? That's a while.
Yeah, time flies. It was never supposed to be that long. I had recorded 3 albums with the quintet, and it certainly felt at that time, back 2005, when the last one came out, that that was kind of enough, and it was time to move on to different projects. And at that time, the way I'd been writing for the quintet, I was imagining various instruments like bagpipes and fiddles and whistles, very Scottish kind of instruments. I would write the tunes with these instruments in mind, and then just bring it into the quintet and adapt it that way. And I felt that it was time to move back to kind of move back to the roots, which is when I started my Stramash band, which really was using the bagpipes and the fiddles. It was a 10-piece band.
Well, the last 10 years has been an incredible journey for you, not only in terms of the projects that you've encountered or embarked on, but you went about trying to overhaul, if I can say that, your trumpet technique.
I did indeed. I'm kind of pretty much self-taught. I've had a few trumpet lessons over the years, but to be honest with you, I didn't really listen to the teachers. I was just too obsessed with with the jazz, sure, the jazzing side of the business and the creativity. And I would go to someone and he would say, when you're playing, you need to relax. And my feeling was, well, how can you possibly relax? There's so many things to think about and so many things going on. But of course, I now realize 20 odd years too late that the most basic thing for any musician needs to be playing in a relaxed way. And there was lots and lots of different elements about my playing that needed to get sorted. But the problem was, being up in Scotland, I didn't really know who to go to. I didn't really think, a classical musician might not be the best person, because I didn't really want to go in and completely change everything. And there's not too many jazz musicians, so I didn't really know what to do. I didn't have the money to sort of travel anywhere, but so I saw this the thing on the internet advertising lessons online.
Yeah.
And it was the stupidest thing I've ever done, because you need to be in the same room. The teacher, he couldn't really see exactly what I was doing, so he gave me promises where, you need to change everything, but within a month or two you'll be back stronger than you ever have been. And I tried this new technique, but actually I was very much doing things even more wrong than before.
Right.
10 months went by of practicing like crazy, and I just got worse and worse, and my whole chops, my mouth, my throat particularly went into this constant spasm. It was agony every time I started to even think about playing the trumpet. I would, the whole thing just fell apart, really.
So it almost took you out of music entirely.
Well, it very much did. So I came to the point, it was New Year's Eve, was it 2010, and I literally could not play a note. So I just had to phone all my gigs for the next, everybody that I was working with for the next 5 months and say, I'm sorry, I can't actually play anymore.
No.
You know, and I was, you know, I was hopeful that I might be able to play again, and but I really was, you know, I was completely lost, completely at the end of my tether.
So what changed?
Well, what changed was the trumpet player who plays with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Scottish Symphony Orchestra, Mark O'Keefe, just heard through the grapevine, heard about my story, and he got in touch and said, "Listen, this could happen to anyone. I'd like to help you." And he said he'll give me as many lessons as I need. And he refused to take any money off me. And he was like an angel. It was just amazing. And so gradually, just very slowly, he got me playing again. You know, just note by note. It was just a matter of just trying to play the first note, and that took a couple of months.
Wow.
But I was back gigging within about four and a half months, not very well, I must admit, but it's just been a matter of gradually building up then over the years. And there was a kind of feeling, I did think, oh, I'm only going to start you know, getting my own projects together when I'm completely happy with my trumpet playing. But I realised I'll probably never, ever be completely happy with my trumpet playing. I don't know if trumpet players ever are.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of just, okay, about a year ago, okay, it's time to get writing again, time to stop feeling sorry for myself and get back to business.
Well, let's hope that nightmare is in your past now and you can forge forward. And the next tune that we're going to hear from you is called Seven Cents a Boogie. Tell us about that one.
Well, what I've over the past 2-3 years in particular, I've been playing a lot of more kind of old-fashioned type jazz, swing jazz, very much loads. I'm playing a band that doesn't like to play anything beyond 1928. So we do, you know, loads of Louis Armstrong things. And I absolutely love that music. I always have, although I've never really played it professionally. But this past 2-3 years has just been wonderful, just been able to focus on that kind of music. And I particularly like playing the plunger, playing with a sync plunger, essentially. I just love the sound of that, the kind of expression that one can make on that. So this tune is based upon that era and has loads and loads of plunger.
Well, let's have a listen to Seven Cents a Boogie. Thank you. The Colin Steele Quintet and Seven Cents a Boogie. And more music from Colin Steele and his quintet coming up later on the show. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, every so often the news comes around that jazz isn't reaching the young. Well, I can attest to the opposite. And sometimes a remarkable musician appears just to prove it in the extreme. Step up to the stage, please, pianist Joey Alexander, who releases his debut album with a stellar cast that includes seasoned bassist Larry Grenadier. But on this track, Russell Hall is on bass and Sammy Miller is on the drums. This is Ma Blues.
Thank you.
Ma Blues from pianist Joey Alexander from his brand new album My Favorite Things. Now, Joey was born in June 2003, which means he turns 12 this month, and you've been listening to the debut album of an 11-year-old boy. We're going to be hearing lots about this young pianist, and the new album is out now on the Motema label. And if Joey Alexander is allowed to develop naturally, without too much pressure, in the way that he's going to develop, he's going to be a fantastic musician. He could even become something like Oscar Peterson. He's way ahead of the curve. He could become anything. Next up, I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Kevin Legendre for his regular monthly feature, Now's the Time, where he unearths a classic album of recent times. Kevin, you've selected Hum de Noe from Joe Harriet and Amancio de Silva. It was recorded in 1969. And why have you chosen this particular album?
It's quite simply one of the greatest British jazz albums. It's as simple as that. And also, very importantly, it's just been reissued. So you've got these two great improvisers and great composers as well. I mean, it's largely de Silva's record, this amazing guitarist from Goa, in terms of the compositions. As far as the improvising goes, the playing of both Joe Harriet and de Silva is really, really special. But I think the other thing as well, which we should mention, is that this is produced by Dennis Preston, who played a major part in Joe Harriet's career. This producer who recognized his talent when he came over from Jamaica in the 50s, who had the Lansdowne record label, who produced the sessions with the other great Indian musician, John Mayer. And he, I think, in Amancio de Silva, saw a potentially very, very important and very suitable collaborator for Joe Harriet. So maybe the producers in jazz, they get overlooked, and he's an important part of the story.
Yeah, well, it's good to have an overseeing eye, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody who recognizes things that are going to act as a catalyst to bring out the music. So what are we going to hear first?
Well, we're going to hear Stefano's Dance, which I think is a great way to open our little tribute to the album. And it's the opening track on the album. It's actually written for Amancio de Silva's son, Stefano. And it really showcases, I think, that the strength of the group as well as the strength of the soloists. We've got Dave Green on bass, Brian Spring, a great drummer, Ian Carr on flugelhorn, and Norma Winston, who's the guest vocalist doing wordless vocal, who, again, if we refer to Dennis Preston, that was actually his suggestion, that he wanted to bring in Norma Winston. I think first and foremost because he was really hearing that wordless vocal as a kind of flute. That's how it functions within the group. I love this blend of rhythms that you have. The bass giving us this very, very steady four, and the guitar and drums in this really lovely lilting six. And that tension between the two sets up the dance. Let's not forget that. That's the key word in the title. It's a dance. It's a very sensual one, a very inviting one, but nonetheless, it's a dance.
Joe Harriott and Amancio da Silva's Stefano's Dance. That's from the album Hum de No, recorded in 1969. And it featured the vocals of Norma Winston and the flugelhorn of Ian Carr. Wonderful piece of music.
Absolutely. It is that sensuality that we were talking about, that dance, which really defines the music. And I think, generally speaking, this is a great album of light and dark, of that sense of the end of the day. I think if we go back to Ian Carr, make a reference to him, there's the famous album that he made with Don Rendell, Dusk Fire. And to me, this is the dusk. This is music as dusk, the remains of the day. The sun setting and everything is very, very sensual. Colours are fading. They create these very evocative, charged atmospheres throughout the record. And that, I think that's the theme. That's why the music is so magical.
You just mentioned Don Rendell, the great saxophonist. And his band is famous for the Rendell Carr Quintet. Mm. And what was going on in the general British jazz scene at the time?
Quite simply, you have this very, very exciting new wave of musicians in British jazz at the time. You feel the sea change. The pianist Stan Tracy, the guitarist John McLaughlin, great trumpeter, flugelhorn player, and composer Ian Carr and Don Rendell, the saxophonist, as you mentioned. All of these new young players coming to the fore, bringing new energies, new personalities to the table. And I think this album really is part of that sense of British jazz moving on and becoming something different in terms of its sound, in terms of the arrangements, in terms of the colours that you can create in the music. And with regard to McLaughlin, I also feel that this album would have been very important to his subsequent development as somebody who went into Indian music in a major way. So to me, this is in the vanguard of British music of the late 60s going into the 70s.
What are we going to hear next?
Okay, so next we're going to hear Ballad for Goa, which I think really underlines what we've been talking about in terms of this very wistful end-of-day quality of the record. To me, this is one of the great sensitive performances in British jazz, where you have this airy quality in the use of Norma Winston's voice, the solos, the use of the voice against the guitar as well, the way that the voice kind of melts into the guitar chords. I think that's, again, part of the magic. The other thing that I'd say about Amancio da Silva is that there's this very delicious ambiguity to my ears over whether he is a quote-unquote electric or acoustic guitarist. He's playing an electric guitar, but he has this acoustic quality. It's in his sensitivity, his lightness of touch, and the influences that he's drawing upon. Jim Hall, Gabor Szabo, Django Reinhardt, all of these great musicians, combined with his own Indian heritage, and also that very, very important connection that he has with Portugal through the fact that Goa was a former Portuguese colony. So he would have heard a lot of fado music when he was growing up, and that kind of permeates the album as well.
So there is this colour that he brings to the guitar, this Spanish quality, yeah, but it's filtered through a different mindset. He uses this Eastern sound.
Absolutely.
The chords are dark, and that's how the piece is introduced. And then it develops in the solo section, doesn't it?
It develops in the solo section, and if you listen to the way that he ends that solo as well, with that simple wobbling vibrato, which again, it's a heart-stopping moment. And that makes me think this is somebody who not only understood music, but he also understood poetry as well. I think he would have read a lot of poetry, and he would have listened to a lot of great Indian singers as well.
Well, let's have a listen. This is Ballad for Goa.
Thank you.
Joe Harriet, Amancio da Silva, and Norma Winston, let's not forget. Yeah. And that was Ballad for Goa. On the drums is Brian Spring, on the bass is Dave Green. What a great and cohesive unit this is. They're just breathing and pulsating together.
Yeah, and we talked about this very sensitive quality that the album has, but there's also this muscularity as well, but it's controlled. The way that they hold down the bottom end, as you could hear on that track as well, what gives it this really, really nice body is the way that Dave Green is bowing under this very dreamy, very siren-like quality that Norma Winston has in her voice. That's important as well because they're covering a very, very wide dynamic range. So you get this spectrum of bigger sounds and smaller, thinner sounds as well, and they do that very well.
Well, you know, it's really got its own quality, and I think she transcends what her original role is or may have been. And that's really something to marvel over, yeah. Right? What are we going to hear next?
Well, this is the last track, and this is the title track, Hum Dunno, but I think we should call it a dance as well. This is the thing for me. This is a dance track. Stefano's Dance was a dance piece, a subtle, understated one. This is a beautiful track to dance to. And it has that lovely, lilting, kind of circular quality in the rhythm as well. Very, very catchy, yet at the same time, very sensitive and very fraught as well. There's something about the way that the bass and drums lock in together. I think Brian Spring must be just using his hand as opposed to using sticks, and that gives a particular quality to the drums, kind of strengthens the low end, and then you have these thinner sounds from the guitar, which again give us that dynamic range. And I hear Joe Harriet's saxophone melody almost as a gypsy violin, which I think heightens the seduction. So, yeah, it's a seductive piece of music.
Well, I'm going to ask you this question. What does Hum Dunno mean?
It actually means you and I.
Okay.
It's the title of a 1961 Hindi film. And the story is, as well, that Amancio da Silva decided to call this piece Hum Dunno because he heard a musician in Mumbai, or Bombay as it was then called, I think a tabla player or a percussionist in the street, and he thought that he was playing so engagingly that it was the musician and his instrument who were you and I. He was accompanying himself on the instrument, and he thought, oh, that's really engrossing, this idea of having one musician who almost is like two characters. I suppose it's a declaration of friendship as well. It's I suppose the bond between Joe Harriet and Amancio da Silva, and the bond between musicians when they play. It's a very heartfelt, very moving piece of music, as well as being a dance.
Well, it's very simple, isn't it? You and I. And Kevin, thank you so much for coming and sharing this remarkable album, Hum Dunno, by Joe Harriet and Amancio da Silva's quartet, featuring the wonderful music and the wonderful playing of Brian Spring on the drums, Dave Green on the bass, Ian Carr on the flugelhorn, and we heard the beautiful vocal improvisations and inventions of Norma Winston.
Well, this used to be as rare as hen's teeth, as they said in the best record shops. You could not get this record at all. It was impossible to find. But it's now been reissued on CD on Vocalion.
Thank you so much, Kevin Legendre, for coming in and speaking to me about this wonderful album.
My pleasure, Julian.
Well, this is the title track, and it's called Hum Dunno by Joe Harriet and Amancio da Silva's quartet.
Thank you.
Joe Harriott and Amancio da Silva's quartet with Hum de No, that was the title track. And my thanks to Kevin for his insights and enthusiasm for this month's Now's the Time selection. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, to the distinctive trumpet of our featured artist in session as we return to Colin Steele and his quintet, this is I Will Wait For You. Thank you. Colin Steele Quintet and I Will Wait For You, composed by Colin Steele and arranged by pianist Dave Milligan. Recorded on Sunday the 29th of March at the BBC's Pacific Key Studios with Michael Buckley on saxophone, Dave Milligan on piano, Callum Gawley on the bass, Stu Ritchie on drums and Colin Steele on the trumpet. Well, that's almost the end of the show. On next week's Jazz Lineup, a preview of this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival and concert music from saxophonist Andy Shepherd and pianist Rita Markatuli. And plenty more jazz on Radio 3 with Jeffrey Smith's Jazz later on tonight. That's at midnight. And on Monday night at 11, Jez Nelson. This week, Jazz features British pianist Alexander Hawkins in concert with his trio, featuring bassist Neil Charles and drummer Tom Skinner. Well, to end with, we have music with a great deal of big band flavor, energy, and interest, led by a musician known for his drumming with progressive rock bands Porcupine Tree and King Crimson. Gavin Harrison has put together a stunning album recalling some pieces from Porcupine Tree, but integral to the music on this album, released on the K-Scope label, is bassist and arranger extraordinaire Lawrence Cottle. Cheating the Polygraph is the album's name, and this is What Happens Now. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
What Happens Now by Gavin Harrison, ending this week's Jazz Lineup. It was presented by Julian Joseph and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. Jazz Lineup is back next Saturday at 6 o'clock. And speaking of Jeffrey Smith's jazz, as Julian did just a few minutes ago, you may like to know there's a change to the advertised edition of the programme tonight. As Ornette Coleman sadly died this week, there's another chance to hear Jeffrey Smith's tribute to him first broadcast in January to celebrate his 85th birthday. So that's tonight at 12 midnight.